Well, I was asked to do this, and I'll tell you right now, it's been a long time since I've done anything like this. And I shouldn't be frightened, because when we lived in Medina, I was youth leader up there, and I had to fill in a lot of things when other ones wasn't there to take a hold. But you learn to do that in a small congregation. But with a congregation like that, why pick on me? You know, it's like, okay, whatever. And I have a bottom plate in, and if I can't talk right with it in, I'm going to pull it out. So just be aware of that. But anyhow, I'm going to start with telling you about how I came to be saved, and I came to the Church of God. I lived in Johnstown, Ohio. It was about 25 miles from here. In the country, I was married with two children, and my life was a miserable mess. I didn't know about God. God was not in my home when I was being raised. I was raised in a home that mom and dad didn't know anything about God, and I didn't know anything about God. You guys are very blessed, I'll tell you that much. So I was so burdened, and one night I got out of bed in the middle of the night, and I got down and I said, if there's a God, then show me. And that's all I said, and I got back in bed. And once you know, two or three days later, a Church of God man come to our house, was working with my husband, and they was having revival down here in 1970, and invited us to come out. And so we decided that that's what we would do. And back in the 70s, it was the time of the miniskirts. It's like the time goes for the long skirts, and the time goes for the miniskirts. And so I put a skirt on. It was already 2 inches above my knee, and I rolled it up. Didn't know what I was coming to when I came down here. So we came down, and I walked in the door, and the Spirit of God just seemed to hit me right in the face. I like, what is going on? So we went and sat down, and the choir came out, and it was beautiful. The choir was so beautiful. And I sat there, and I jerked on one side of my skirt, and I jerked on the other side of my skirt, and it finally came down, but it wasn't long enough anyhow. It was still too short. And I left there, and we were on our way home, and I said, I don't want to go back there anymore, because I didn't know what was going on with the conviction that I had. I didn't want to go back anymore. But two or three days later, I call it my upper room, at home in my bedroom. The conviction of God fell on me. I didn't know anything about God, but I got down and I started praying. And I was asking, God, please forgive me. Forgive me for my sins. And I must have went on for a half hour, 45 minutes. I didn't know that you just ask God to forgive you for your sins and go up and go on your way. So I kept praying, and pretty soon my husband called up and said, hey, we got a visitor down here that's having car trouble. So I went down, and the man was standing by the door, and was like, there's something different about him. It was like an angelic host or something. And we had a choir song on the record. You've seen the old choir records, and we were playing that. And he said, very quietly, and it calmed me right down. That's the thing. I was real nervous. I didn't know what God was going, you know, I was asking God to forgive me, and it calmed me right down. He said, isn't that beautiful music? And he went out the door, and my husband went out after him just a couple minutes. And he said, there's no car, and there's no man out there. They disappeared. They're gone. And I believe God sent an angel down to let me know that I was forgiven, because I didn't know to stop praying. I didn't know that. But God forgave me, and I started coming to church here, and we were here for a while. We moved up north on a dairy farm. We went to Medina Church of God there. And in the Church of God, when it's a small congregation, you take on a lot of projects that you think, what is God called you to do? You know, I was a youth leader, a little child song director. I sang in the choir, in the quartet, altar worker. I mean, and Sunday school teacher, and you just did it. You did it because you were there to help out, and God seen our heart. And one night, I had a terrible, terrible dream. You know, we all get up in the morning and say, boy, I had a dream. Well, what was it about? Well, I don't know what it was about, but I know I had one. But this one stayed with me, stayed right with me. And I was in muddy water on my tiptoes, and the water was up to my neck. And I thought, I don't know what I thought, but I can see it now. I'm not going to make it. I am not going to make it. And then I looked over on the other shore, and there was a sister standing over there, and she said, come on. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it. And you know, not too long after that, I had a terrible, terrible tragedy in my life. I lost my husband. I had two children to raise on my own. But God never failed me. He was right there when we were, Brother Wilson was there with me, and he seen I was very, very tormented. And he said these words, and I remember him. You can make it. You can make it. And I did. God helped us to go through that, and we made it. And I was just real thankful for that. And God saved me, and we were here for about a year. Then we moved to Medina, like I said. Then all this happened. We moved back. We lived right down the road here when we moved back. Trying to find your niche in life. Well, while I was still at Medina, I was able to go with the missionary group to Haiti. And we were over there for a while. Terrible sight. Things you see, you do not forget. You remember them all your life. The poor, you know, the missionary, and the church was on the other side of the road. Oh, it was just bad. We went, took us up in the mountains. This little boy come around the corner, and he had, his belly was protruded out really bad. He had red hair. And I asked, what's wrong with the little boy? He said, they're malnutrition, and when they get red hair, there's nothing they can do for him. He will die. And I felt so bad about that. And I thought, how much we have here. We have here in the United States, even though we're having trouble out there. But we are so blessed here in the Church of God. Amen. And there at the mission, when the Highlanders come down, that's the people that's up high. They live in huts and things like that. They don't have anything hardly to eat. So we made peanut butter sandwiches and powdered milk, and that's what they had for their lunch. You know, we are so blessed. And I thought, if anybody would complain about the food at the dining hall, send them to me. I'll make them a peanut butter sandwich and give them some powdered milk. Then they'll really understand what it's like not to have anything. They don't have anything. Sister Faye Green was over there with us, and I was going to go across the road to the mission the church where we was having services, and I heard this banging coming down the road, not really realizing what it was. And she said, oh, sister, don't go across there. I thought, why? That's the voodoo coming down through there, and you don't want to get in their way, because they do everything they can to disturb the church over there in the services. They do all they can do, you know. So I didn't. And then we were feeding the people the peanut butter sandwiches and the milk. And the women were holding their babies up to me so I could feed them. And I was feeding the baby, and the baby was just eating this food up. And I said, Brother Wilson, look at this baby eat. And he gave me some good advice. He said, don't feed them too fast. It will make them sick. They're not used to having this kind of food. Are we blessed? Right. Are we blessed with what we have?
Yes.
We don't realize it till we go over there. And we went to town. We tried to go to town. The brethren over there were kind of mean. Not really. The brethren in the mission that came over there, they had went to town, and we went shopping just a little bit. They make things out of wood, and we were going to buy some, you know. So they went one day, and the next day was our turn to go. So we all gathered in the Jeep, and it's really hot over there, and we were sitting there in the Jeep, and it wouldn't start. And we were all sweating and everything. We looked over, and the brethren were laughing. They had taken something off of that Jeep, So we couldn't go to town. I said, okay. So they put it back on and we went to town. And the sisters and I said, what can we do to get back at these brethren? What can we do? Huh, got to do something. So we all got together and we said, well, what we'll do is you dress up as a voodoo lady. I said, okay, that sounds like a good deal. So we did. One night, got dark. And now these were brethren that came from the United States over there, so they didn't know much about them either. So they dressed me. I got all dressed up and everything. We went and knocked on their door, and they pushed it over, and they were hollering, voodoo, voodoo. And I stepped in and looked at them, and one pastor, he tried to crawl under his bed, but he couldn't make it. It scared him so bad, he tried to crawl under the bed, and we laughed. He said, did we get him or what, you know? So we had a good time with that. And so we were over there. That wasn't my mission. The mission field was not a call for me. After I seen all that was going on, I don't think that I could have handled people starving to death and seeing little children be going hungry. Anyhow, there was two sisters that came over from God's Acres. They were young people. And they heard something outside their window. They heard this moaning and groaning. And the one sister got up and looked out, and they were butchering a goat or a cow. I forget what it was. And she fainted clear away. I mean, she seen all that. And then I went over there to do some cooking for the... So I opened up the refrigerator, and guess what I found? Just the meat just throwed in there, and the blood and everything was just there. That's the way they do things over there. And went, no way I'm going to eat that. So we made some cookies over there, and there was little bugs in the cookie. I was making some oatmeal cookies, and I told the sister, I said, this has got bugs in. I said, we can't give this to the ones. And she said, it makes no difference. Cook them. Just go ahead and bake them and give it to them. They're used to it. Their system is used to this stuff. Where I would make me sick. Them, it doesn't. And they enjoyed them. I mean, I thought, I'm going to tell them. You know, you can't tell them that they had bugs in them. But they were at the place where they would eat anything. And it wouldn't bother them because their system was so much different than ours was. So anyhow, we come back from there. And then we moved down here, and God brought us, so we were back in the congregation here, and I started to work up at the lunch stand many, many years ago. I worked with Sister Betty Romine, and I thought, this is my call. This is where I feel comfortable in doing right here at the lunch stand. Is that, if you remember, some of you don't even remember, the lunch stand was up on the hill with the in the building that opened up the big doors, and the picnic tables were set out there. And oh, we had a good time. We really had a good time up there. And then Betty Romine wanted to step down. She was older, and Brother Wilson came to us and said, would you take over the overseeing of the lunch stand? And I told him, I said, Brother Wilson will certainly pray about it. I didn't jump into it. Pray about everything. Just don't say that I'm going to do that. That's what I want to do. There's trials and problems that comes your way anyhow when you pray about it. But unneedlessly, you don't need to just jump into things. Whether that's dating, whether that's going to be married, be sure of your companion. Be sure of him. Anyhow, we said that we would take it over, and we were up there for many years. And the overseers of the dining hall stepped down, and Brother Decker came to us and said, would you take over the dining hall? And I told him the same thing. I said, we'll pray about it, because I knew that was going to be different, way, way different than running the lunch stand. So we did. I had to handle some problems. I mostly handled the problems because at that time my husband didn't have much tact. If something went wrong, he'd just go and say, hey, don't do that no more. Don't, you know. You've got to use some kind of tact about yourself when you're working with volunteer workers. All the workers are volunteer. There's no big I or little you. We all work together for the kingdom of God. So this is my first time, and somebody came to me and they said, Sister Lake, did you know that these pork chops that they're frying is freezer burnt? I said, they are? Yeah. So I went back and told the brother that was cooking all these pork chops. I mean, there was a buku of them. And I don't know where he stood spiritually, but I told him, I said, brother, we've got some complaints about these pork chops being freezer burnt. And I couldn't believe what he said. He said, oh, they just want to sit out there on their duff and complain. And I thought, and I turned around and walked away. This is my first thing that I had to take care of. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. And I went and sat down. And the more I sat there, it just seemed like, if you're going to be the overseer, you better take care of this. You can't feed these to the camp meeting group. So I went back, and he didn't. And I said it real quick and walked out the door. I said, Brother, we are not serving these pork chops. I'm going down to North Beach. I'm getting chicken strips, and that's what we're having. Zoom, out the door I went. When I come back, those pork chops were totally gone. Till this day, I don't know where they went to, but we had chicken strips for supper. I mean, God had just worked it every way, you know. But my calling was really the lunch stand. But after 4 years, Brother Lake had to step down because of being in the freezer a lot, and it wasn't too long, too many years after that, he got lung cancer and passed away. Back in 2 days, being 30 years that we were married. So that was another trial that the Lord brought me through. And I think of the song that says about the young people, serving with all your heart. And give him the best of your years. This is the best of your years. Don't let nothing interfere with that. Whether it's a boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever job, don't let nothing interfere with you with God. God is your best friend. He's your Savior. He's your God. He's your protector. And he will take care of you. But if you just a little bit turn your back on him, he'll leave. And you don't want that. You want to stay right close to him. So we went on, and after a while, like I said, Brother Lake passed away. And then I began to think, what are some of the things today? And I come and sing, Brother. Some of the ones had these up here already. What your calling is? What is your calling? What is your calling? Is it all these things on here? Or are you just called to have a husband and wife and children? That's your calling, to show them children the right way to go. If you don't, you'll be responsible for them. I thought when I was raising my two boys, we didn't miss Sunday school or church, revivals or camp meeting. I taught them at home to read and pray and serve the Lord. And that's what we did. That's what we did. We're old school. I've been saved now for 53 years, and I know I'm old, and I can't do the things that I used to do. But the Presley Trio, they sing, when you can't do anything, I can pray.
Right.
And that's where I stand today. I can pray. When I can't go work at the lunch stand, I can't be on my feet a whole lot, I can't do this and that, but believe me, young people, I can pray, and I pray for the young people. You'll make right decisions. Wait for the Lord to give you a job, to lay it on your heart, and you will know. You will know. That's the place God wants me to be. He will do it for you. And sister, brother and sister, stir like you sing a song. May those who come behind us find us faithful. Are we going to be faithful through the trials, the problems? Believe me, I've been through some hard trials. I didn't think I was going to make it, but God never failed me. He was right there with me. I love you, young people. Appreciate you. Go forward for God. Do what's right. Do what's right. That's what God wants you to do. Seek His face every day. Make sure that your soul is right with God. They sing a song, "It is well with my soul." Can we sing that and raise our hands and really mean it? Is it well? We certainly hope so. I love each and every one of you. I don't know if this message has helped you any, but I know what God has done for me, He will do for you.
Amen. Amen.
Very good. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Karen. One thing that struck out to me the most is we are blessed for what God has done for us and what He's given us, and that world that He brings us all here together.
Right.
Yeah, there's that one song that is my mind that it's a very like the very last pages. We need each other.
Right.
Can't make anywhere without helping each other. You know. Can't make anywhere without God in the same way. Yes, we should pray with our heart what God wants us to do. You know, something that we like to do, something we would be good at. For me, example, like an encourager. Like I'm already trying to be an encouragement to others right now, and be a helper. You know, singer, and you know, possibly a storyteller. You know, those things I'm pretty good because it involves talking. You know, and I for one love the Donahoe food, and I can't resist the delicious vanilla peanut butter pie. Trust me, you guys should try it. It's delicious. And the rest of the food is delicious too. And thank you, Sister Karen. That was beautiful. And I for one am very grateful that God has blessed me with what I have for today.
Right. Amen.
So we all can stand.